Good morning, everyone. This morning I'd like to review with you the different kinds of meditation practices we have in this tradition and discuss briefly some of the benefits and limitations of each one. And then we'll start off and I'll do a little insight meditation practice with you. So before I actually begin, because I know there's a wide variety of experience in the group, I'm just curious to know who is doing what practice. So how many of you as your primary practice are doing tranquility or concentration practice? Okay. And insight practice? Choiceless awareness? And is anyone practicing non-dual? Okay. So I'll start off with concentration or tranquility practice. In the Tibetan tradition, it's called shamatha. I tend to use the word concentration, but tranquility is equally appropriate. When I use the word concentration, it's a specific kind of concentration in this practice. It's absorption concentration. That's where we give the mind one thing to focus on, the breath in this case, and we want our awareness to be absorbed in that object. And when the awareness wanders off, as soon as we notice that, we bring it back. So that's the basis of the practice. It sounds easy, as you well know, it's anything but. One of the benefits is that it's really calming. That's why it's called tranquility practice. So if the mind is really agitated, it's a wonderful practice to help be a little calmer. It also does concentrate the mind's energy. And when I say concentration in this context, I think of it in terms of the sun. If we went out and it was shining today, the rays of the sun would be going in every which direction. It would be very unfocused. But if I had a magnifying glass and got it in the right angle, I could concentrate the sun's energy, and if I had a piece of paper on the other side, I might be able to start a fire with it. So it's taking the energy of the mind and getting it more focused or concentrated. So that's another benefit. A third benefit, and Daryl talked about this the other day, is it suppresses the hindrances. Now, by suppressing them, it doesn't mean that they go away. It'd be nice if we could just get concentrated and we'd never have to deal with them again. But while the concentration is strong, then the hindrances of greed, hatred, doubt, they really tend to be in the background. They may arise, but we don't tend to get lost in them. So those are the benefits. The limitations are we have a restricted focus, one thing, so we can't see the true nature of how life is. A second limitation is it's really easy to get attached to the pleasant sensations that arise when we're feeling so calm and concentrated and tranquil. And that can be really something that really slows down our practice if we get too attached to wanting to feel these pleasant feelings that come from strong concentration or tranquility. And then thirdly, we're manipulating the mind. We're bringing it back when the mind wanders off to one point. And so therefore we can't see the mind's true nature when we're actually manipulating the mind. So that would be the benefits and limitations of concentration or tranquility practice. The next practice is insight practice, where it sounds like most of you, that would be the primary practice. And in this practice, we start off by focusing on the breath. And from my perspective, it's always wise to start off and do a little concentration practice to begin with, just because the mind is normally so agitated. So we would stay maybe with the breath until we feel a little calmer, present. And then we allow the awareness to open up, and the awareness will go wherever it's going to go, to thinking, to sensations in the body, to sound, to emoting. And each time the awareness is brought away to one of those things, we allow the awareness to go there. We experience it fully, the being aware of the thoughts or the emotions or the sensations in the body. When we recognize that that experience is not static and unchanging, but it's impermanent, it is changing, then we would come back to the breath. So that's the basic practice. But I want to talk about the three characteristics of insight practice if you're really doing it, according to how I've been trained. And these three characteristics are momentary concentration, bare attention, and clear comprehension. So momentary concentration, as opposed to absorption concentration. When there's absorption concentration, we give the mind one thing to focus on, and we keep it there. But that's not how life is. Life is constantly changing. There are things coming from all directions at us. So we want to be able to have a concentration that can be aware of thinking or sensing or emoting or whatever happening externally. So that's why we want to cultivate momentary concentration. There's still a concentration, but it can go here, there, because that's the way life is. So that's momentary concentration. What is bare attention? It's a quality of attention that's bare of three things. It's bare of judgment, it's bare of decision, and it's bare of commentary. It's bare of judgment because if something arises in our meditation and the mind judges it to be good or skillful or positive, the tendency of the mind is to want to hold on to it, and therefore we can't see its true nature. If the mind judges what's arising to be bad, unskillful, then the mind's going to want to push it away, resist it. And again, we can't see its true nature. So we want to have a quality of awareness that's bare of judgment. It's also bare of decision. We're not sitting in meditation to make decisions about our life. What should I do with my career or with this relationship? What many people are doing when they're sitting on the cushion is actually practicing some kind of self-psychotherapy. They're wondering about, why do these patterns arise in my mind? Maybe it's because of how my mother treated me when I was a child. And so we're getting into a lot of self-psychotherapy, which may have some benefits, but it's not insight meditation, so we need to be clear about that. If the mind starts to make decisions, then those decisions just become objects of meditation, and there's no problem. It's the same with the judging. Although I said it's bare of judgment, it doesn't mean that judgments won't arise. When judgments arise, which they tend to, because that's what the mind tends to do, those judgments, again, just become objects of meditation, and therefore there's no problem. So it's bare of judgment, bare of decision, bare of commentary. You might have noticed that the mind has a comment about everything. Everything. And so comments will arise when you sit. And again, so it's not like, well, I shouldn't be having comments. Comments will arise. When they arise, it's just we don't then get engaged in the comments, think about the comments, get lost in the comments. The comments just become, again, an object of meditation. We can see their impermanent nature, and our practice is just doing fine. So I said there are three components to bare attention. So it's bare of judgment, bare of decision, bare of commentary. The third characteristic of insight meditation is clear comprehension. That means in any moment of experience, when we're sitting, we're clearly comprehending one of three things. Either we're seeing impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, or selflessness. And given that these three things are actually different manifestations of the same thing, if we're seeing one of them, we're seeing all of them. One of the things that was really beneficial to me at a certain point in my practice was when my teacher emphasized the importance of setting an intention every time I sat to see one of these three characteristics. I would be seeing them, but it wasn't a strong intention. When I made the intention, every time I sat, let me be aware of either impermanence, unsatisfactory, or selflessness, lo and behold, when that intention was strong enough, it started to become more clear to me that that's what was going on. So again, these are the three characteristics. So momentary concentration, as opposed to absorption concentration, bare attention, that quality of attention that's bare of judgment, decision, commentary, and clear comprehension. So those are the three aspects of insight meditation. So what are the benefits? Well, it's inclusive. It opens up to everything. There's nothing that is not, is, you know, we're not restricting anything from our focus because that's the way life is. So it's very inclusive. Also, because we're looking for impermanence, we're seeing clearly the changing nature of life unfolding as we pay attention. The limitations are, is we are still manipulating the mind because we keep coming back to a primary object, the breath. And so if we're manipulating the mind, we can't fully see how the mind operates. If you're also using noting, which some of you may be using, that's very strong in the Mahasi Sayadaw tradition, the noting is a cognitive overlay on the experience. So again, we can't see clearly what the mind is doing. So that's insight meditation. The next practice is choiceless awareness. And practicing choiceless awareness, when I practice it, I always still start off with some tranquility or concentration practice to stabilize the attention in the body and just be here. And then when I feel a little stability, then I open up the awareness to whatever arises. So there's no primary object. So there's just awareness of thinking, emoting, feeling, hearing, whatever is arising. So the awareness is just going wherever it's drawn. And it's really impossible to do mental noting when you're doing choiceless awareness because you see how rapidly things are changing. You can't keep up with the change when you're doing mental noting. So that's choiceless awareness. The benefits are there's no mental manipulation because there's no primary object we're coming back to. We're not seeing the impermanent nature of things. All we're seeing is impermanence because that is the nature of life. So those are the benefits. One of the limitations, it's easy when you're doing this to shift from being spacious to being spaced out. Okay? If you've done it, you probably understand what I'm talking about. The other limitation is that there's still a posture of there's a self that's witnessing what's unfolding. So those are the limitations of choiceless awareness. And then the fourth practice is non-dual practice, which is witnessing without identifying with being there being a witness. That's the difference. The stance of being a witness drops and there's just the pure awareness of what's arising. At some point, this is the practice, this which is also, by the way, this is living from presence. And it becomes not only your formal meditation, but how you go through life when you're walking, when you're eating. And for advanced practitioners, it even becomes a practice when you're sleeping, both in dream sleep and deep sleep. You can learn to bring this quality of consciousness to those states as well. Now, I want to emphasize, depending on where you're at, there's no right place to be. Like, oh, I'm still doing concentration and look at how many people maybe are doing choiceless awareness. I don't know this for sure, but I'm willing to bet that the Dalai Lama still practices shamatha meditation. I'm sure Thich Nhat Hanh, if he's capable, still practices concentration practice. So it's not like one is better than the other. There is a maturation of our practice, but even skilled practitioners still sometimes go back to doing concentration. If this mind that I'm stuck with is really agitated and I sit down, I'm going to be spending more time doing concentration practice, not moving into another practice because I know that degree of agitation will limit my ability to do the other practices. So I just want to emphasize that. Okay? If you're lost in a practice, let's say you're trying to do choiceless awareness and you're realizing you're not spacious, you are spaced out. Just drop back and do some insight practice. And then when you feel a little more present, you might try and do choiceless awareness again. Or if you were doing insight practice and the mind just started to get so agitated, drop back and do a little concentration or tranquility practice. It really is wisdom to be able to use these different practices depending on what's arising for us. Okay? So get in your sitting position if you're not already, and we'll do some insight practice. And I'll just start off by giving you the basic instructions again. So remember, sitting, your back is straight and erect, but not rigid. The head and neck is balanced on the shoulders. If you're sitting in a chair, your feet are flat on the floor, your legs aren't crossed. Your arms are tucked in, so they're not, if you've got arms on your chair, you're not resting on the arms. Coming to a place of dignity. And when there's a dignified posture, the posture is not too lax, not too tense. I always tell my students, imagine you're about to meet the Queen. There's a certain kind of presence you bring to that kind of encounter. That's the presence you want to bring to your practice. And so starting off by checking the energy in the body. Does the body feel tight and tense? Soft and relaxed? And if you notice a lot of tension, just see if you can let your eyes and your face be soft. Check your shoulders. If they're tightened up, just soften the shoulders. Softening the chest and the belly. And now bringing your attention to the breath, wherever you feel the breath most readily. For some of you, that will be at the nostril. The sensation of the air going in and out. For others of you, it might be the movement of the chest or the belly. There's no right place. Wherever you feel the breath most easily, that's your place to connect with the breath. So feeling each in-breath and each out-breath as clearly and distinctly as you can. When the mind wanders off, which it will, without any judgment that has occurred, gently but firmly bring the attention back once again to this breath, to this moment. Once again, just be fully here in your body with awareness. Being aware of the rhythm of the breath without trying to manipulate or change it in any way. But if the breath is slow, be aware that it's a slow breath. And if the breath is rapid, be aware that it's a rapid breath. If the breath is deep, feel that it's a deep breath. And if the breath is shallow, feel that it's a shallow breath. Noticing that sometimes the breath is long, sometimes it's short. Sometimes the breath just flows very smoothly, and at other times it feels quite chaotic and erratic. And your only job is to be there with awareness, feeling each breath, moment to moment, breath to breath. Letting the awareness of the breath be very precise and refined. See if you can clearly distinguish that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to each in-breath. Feeling that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to each out-breath. being aware of the pause at the end of the inhalation before the exhalation begins. And being aware of the pause at the end of the exhalation before the inhalation begins. Fully present with each aspect of the breath. All of the in-breath, the pause, all of the out-breath, and the pause. And continuing to come back to the breath each time the mind has wandered off. Now, as you sit here, you may become aware of other sensations arising in the body. When one of those sensations becomes strong enough to pull your attention away from the breath, let go of the breath. Turn your attention to that sensation, observing where it arises in the body. Does it stay in one place or does it move around? Is the intensity of the sensations constant or are they changing? And are the quality of the sensations changing? And this is not cognitive, this is purely feeling. When it is clear to you that the experience you're observing is changing, then come back to the breath. Stay with the breath until the next sensation pulls your attention. Then make that the meditation's object, going into it with awareness, experiencing it fully. When it is clear to you that it is changing, then come back to the breath. If you start to become aware of thoughts or emotions arising, when they pull the attention, then make them the meditation's object. If thinking arises, make the thinking the object of your awareness. When you notice that the thinking has dissolved, when you give it your full attention, that tends to happen, then you come back to the breath. If the awareness is pulled to an emotion, observe where you experience the emotion in the body, starting to recognize that each emotion has a different signature in the body, that fear will be experienced in the body differently than sadness or anger. Being aware of any storyline, any thinking that may go with the emotion. When it is clear to you that the emotion is changing, there is nothing that is static in it, again you come back to the breath. So we're not trying to push the emotion away or push thoughts away. We're opening up to experience them with full acceptance But when it is clear to us that they are a changing process, impermanent, then we come back to the breath. So now, opening up to all aspects of the body and mind with the same open, accepting awareness.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.